WFXX.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
The Foxy Knowledge.
And it is time, just like that, for a Manic Monday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox, the web version. This morning,
of sorts.
The transmitter is down, and with our current configuration, there's just nobody that can get to it until Monday. And at some point today, somebody will get out there and take a look at that. Hopefully we'll have a remedy to this ongoing situation, within the next month or so. Phone line in the meantime, if you are listening via the internet, is available to you at 814-954-7266. And, well, lots to get into, today. Busy little weekend. Lots going on the local front. Feel like everybody, understandably, tries to, hey, it's an off week for Penn State football. Let's hold our event that day or that weekend.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of options, lots of things going on around the area. If you want to weigh in on anything you were able to check out over the weekend, we are all ears. Again, 814-954-7266 will get you into the program. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. There is some sort of wet stuff falling from the sky at my house, and I don't know what in the world to make of it. It's like there's this, I would call it like precipitation falling from the sky. It is stunning. I don't know what to make of it.
Come on, you know what it is.
I have no idea what this
could
be.
It's those airplanes.
Oh.
Those contrails.
The trails.
Come on. Yeah, they're going overhead.
There you have it.
And you see them in the sky. This line of stuff.
Oh,
come on.
Yes.
Come on, conspiracy theorists. Come on, join me, right? All right, that's what it is. All right, we got this figured out. Let's see. Our friend Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, will join us later next hour. You can ask him. All right. He probably knows all about the contrails.
Uh-huh.
You know, all those things coming out of the airplanes. Yeah, come on. We're flyover country, right? All right. You can't go out anytime, or at least at my house. I can't go out anytime, day or night. I swear, even in the middle of the night, although I've never checked in the middle of the night, I'm usually sleeping at that point. There are at least three planes visible in the sky pretty much any time of the day. Now, in the daytime, you might see those trails. At nighttime, you see little beep, beep, little blinking lights and stuff like that. There's at least three in the sky at any one time. When I take my, this is bizarre, okay? When I take my guy Domino out at night, you know, to, okay, do your stuff so we can go to bed, you know, that sort of stuff. I take him out. I always look up. Okay, there's one. Okay, there's two. I can count them. One, two, three. Almost every time. All right? The only time that I can remember that didn't happen was right after 9/11. Remember, right after 9/11, airlines were grounded for, what, a couple days, several days, or something like that. And then going out at night and you're looking up and all you're seeing are stars. Okay, I don't see any blinking lights. It's the airplanes. Anyway, there we go. Yes, we might get some rain. Yay, that real answer. Okay, rain next couple of days. It may not be a lot, but hey, it's been different than usual. Now, today is a special day, all right? Hopefully you know that. Today is a special day. Today is the first official, by the calendar, first official day of autumn or fall. And if you want to get really, really specific, all right, what's called the fall equinox happens exactly, according to experts, exactly this afternoon at 2:19 p.m. Eastern Time. So go ahead and write that down. 2:19 p.m. this afternoon is the official start of fall. And the idea is from sunrise to sunset, 12 hours. From sunset to sunrise, 12 hours. That would be the equinox. Now, it may not be exactly right on the schneid, but pretty darn close. 2:19 p.m. this afternoon. I don't know if you're worthy. Hoist a drink. Hoist one to the sky. Okay, here we go, autumn. We're ready for you now. Although, frankly, the leaves are turning and the leaves are falling in part because it's so dry that I think fall started 3 weeks ago or thereabouts. But if you want to be official, it's 2:19 p.m. this afternoon. See you later, summer. It's been nice knowing you. There we go.
So long.
So long. Yeah, you're right. There was a lot of stuff this weekend. Oh. In fact, one thing I missed, and I passed this, and I'm kicking myself like, oh, for goodness sakes, how did I miss this and forget this? The annual Penn State Insect Fair was at the Penn State Ag Arena on Saturday. And I'm driving by there. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes, I totally forgot all about that. It's a fun event. I noticed a lot of people are walking in with children. It was a great event for kids. They've been doing this for years. Goodness, they've been doing this when my girls were still girls. All right, that was a long time ago. And it's just a fun event. I don't know if they do the roasted crickets anymore. I kind of draw the line at that one, but a lot of fun things if you went to that event. Now, in my case, I had some fun on Saturday. I was at the Penn State Softball Park and Beard Field for Penn State Women's Softball, their Fall Ball Weekend. They had games on Saturday. They had games yesterday. Now, if you remember Saturday, the weather on Saturday was absolutely perfect. It was like 72 degrees. It was sunny. It was beautiful. Perfect for ball games. What?
About a half a degree too warm for my liking. Yeah. It was pretty good.
You're going to get picky now.
It was pretty good, but I mean, not perfect. But it was pretty good.
It was perfect. Actually, the guy sitting, all right, I was there because I was the announcer.
Look at you and your announcing.
I had a blast. That was fun. The young man sitting next to me, who was like the official statistician, he's the one who said, this weather's perfect. Like, you're right. It is perfect. It was fun. If you like baseball, softball, it was a good day. Penn State, along with Clarion and Frostburg State. Now, Clarion and Frostburg State, obviously not that far away. They're both Division II teams. Penn State, of course, Division I team. Yesterday, they brought in Bloomsburg and St. Francis. So, again, they would be, I think, Division II teams also. And the idea with fall ball, none of these games counted. It was exhibition, chance to get out and play, chance for coaches to, you know, maybe try some new configurations and so on, get some more pitchers in action. Maybe it's a new girl on the team and stuff like that. It was fun. Penn State won both of their games rather handily on Saturday. Tell you what, Frostburg State, not a bad team. Clarion had a long day. Clarion had a long day on Saturday. The first inning, Penn State played Clarion in the opening game. The first inning took 40 minutes. That's a long time.
That's a pretty long inning.
For an inning, okay? Mm-hmm. The score at the end of the first inning was Clarion 1, Penn State 12. It's like, okay, ouch. And I'm sitting there thinking, how long do we have for this? Holy moly. Clarion had a rough day. They gave up a pile of walks. In one inning, they had 4 hit batsmen. 4 in one inning. And we're sitting up there like, oh my gosh, this is getting ugly. Holy moly. Penn State essentially batted around twice in that first inning in piling up 12 runs. But some great defensive plays. Frostburg made things a little challenging because their team showed up with their jerseys on, no numbers on the jerseys. All the girls wore essentially the same shirt. And nobody had a number on their jersey. Well, that's a bit of a problem when you're trying to announce who's who, because I obviously didn't know who the Frostburg girls were, so I couldn't, you know, like recognize them and stuff like that. So at first I'm thinking, well, I can't announce their names because I'm not exactly sure who's coming up to the plate. But then I plugged in my brain.
Oh, look at this.
I plugged in my brain because, obviously, you know, if you're playing baseball or softball, you come up to bat, you have to wear a helmet, all right, for safety and all that sort of thing. And one thing I noticed on the back of the Frostburg helmets was a little number, like 3 or 8 or 11. And I'm thinking, okay, I can't imagine girls probably share their helmets. They always wear their helmet. So I thought, okay, I've got a starting lineup here. All right, the first girl, her helmet says number 3. The next girl, her helmet says number 11. And so I just thought, okay, 3 is this girl, 11 is this girl. Is that smart or what?
I'm telling you, genius at work over here.
I mean, the young man sitting next to me, he's like, nah, just don't announce their names. I'm like, no, they want their names announced. All right, if their parents are in the stands, and Frostburg brought a bunch of folks because this was a big deal for them, and so when Frostburg would have a big hit or make a great defensive play, by the way, their center fielder is terrific. There, she made some great plays out in the field. They would just howl and cheer and all that sort of thing. The Penn State fans were, The Frostburg fans were like whiteout. Ah! They were going crazy. So that was kind of neat. So I thought, no, there's got to be some parents here. I want to announce their names. And for most of the game, I was able to do that. Now, when they started doing some substitutions, then I was clueless. I'm like, okay, I can't do this girl. But it was a lot of fun. And thanks to Penn State for letting me sit in for a day. Hey, I got free food. All right, I like free food. Oh, yeah, they did pay me, so that's okay, too. So maybe I'll get a chance to do that again sometime. Very nice. If you've never been to Beard Field, really nice facility. Top notch. Really, really great. All right. We have a caller there?
We do indeed. We do. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
I just have a quick question, gentlemen. Why can't I get you on the air?
That would be because the transmitter isn't working
right now.
We have somebody on their way this morning to hopefully fix it. But it went down Saturday, and the circumstances we're in right now, we just can't get an engineer there until Monday. So at some point this morning, we are told, fingers crossed, it will all be resolved.
By this morning, yes.
Well, hopefully I can hear Mr. Vastardi, but if I can't,
he'll be late next hour.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I'm with you.
I'll just enjoy the weather. It's the only weather I got. So.
That's all you can do, baby.
Have a good one, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for the call.
And feel free to pass along that we are streaming. You can find us there, but not not at the moment on the air. That could change at. Well, almost any moment. But 987thefox.info is where you can go, and we have the streaming available right there. And that is working. So you can check that out.
All right. I'm looking at our computer. The numbers are going up. All right. That's very good. All right. Now, here's something to plan ahead for.
Yeah.
All right. I noticed this online over the weekend. I thought, okay, that's interesting. State College Police Department. Yes, you don't want to mess with them, okay? But it is nice to meet them, especially if we're from State College. This is not this week. This is next week. All right, kind of mark this down if you're available. Apparently, October 1st, which would be next Wednesday, is, again, who comes up with this stuff? National Coffee with a Cop Day. Okay. National Coffee with a Cop Day is next Wednesday, the 1st. And State College Police Department's doing a fun little, like a promotional type event. They're calling this Coffee and Conversations with a Cop next Wednesday. So you can go get some coffee. All right. If coffee's not your thing, Scott here, not my thing, tea, other refreshments. And conversations with the police. Now, in this case, good conversations with the police, not the other kind. This is next Wednesday, the 1st, at the State College Municipal Building downtown. This is a morning event from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Hey, that'd be right after our show, Mr. Ironhead.
What?
We could go have coffee and conversation with a cop.
I
want to do that next Wednesday, put that on the calendar. It's just a fun kind of a public event. Sometimes police get a bad rap. They do, all right? So if you want to go meet them, talk to them, ask them questions, here you go. You don't necessarily have to be from State College, all right? You can be from other places. Next Wednesday, the 1st, 10 to 11:30 a.m., State College Municipal Building Lobby. All right, what the heck? That sounds like a lot of fun. Okay, the best airports in America. Got this from J.D. Power. All right, if you've heard of them, these are folks, they rate all kinds of stuff. The best cars, the safest cars, the best of this, the best of that. Well, they just did a 2025 North America Airport Satisfaction Study. Okay. Now, they divided airports into three groups: medium airports, large airports, and mega airports. In other words, the really big ones. Now, no, State College Airport is not a medium airport. It's a small airport. And they don't, I don't know, for whatever reason, they don't do small. They don't do small, all right? Medium airports. Now, all right, Mr. Wrestling Man, you travel through airports probably a lot more than I do. Even with my old job, I maybe flew, maybe two or three times a year. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the medium airports, according to J.D. Power, the number one airport, to my knowledge, I've never been there, Indianapolis International Airport, all right, is a medium-sized airport. You ever flown through Indianapolis? That ring a bell?
I have been, not with wrestling have I flown through, but I have.
Oh, all right.
There, yes.
That's fun. Okay. Well, apparently Indianapolis has a really nice airport. Okay. Now, this is a North American study, so it's not just U.S. airports on this list. The one at the bottom, I've never been there, the Edmonton International Airport. That would be in Canada. All right. For some reason, they're at the bottom of the list. Pittsburgh. Now, I'll be honest. I haven't been through Pittsburgh Airport in a very long time. Pittsburgh would be officially a medium airport. Not large. They'd be medium. Okay. But, this is not good. They have call it an average, J.D. Power does, in the middle. And Pittsburgh International, slightly below average. That's not good. How about Columbus International Airport? You've been to that one? That be Ohio State, right?
I think that I have.
Really? Okay. John Glenn Columbus International Airport. They're also slightly below average. Ooh, not good. Then we have the large airports. Now, the number one on the large, I have been through this airport before, and yes, I really liked it. John Wayne Airport, which is out in Orange County, California. So if you're flying to Los Angeles, you're either going to go to LAX, big, 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 or you can go to John Wayne, which is in Orange County, smaller airport. I really like John Wayne. It was just a lot more open, free. I thought it was, clean and just very pleasing to look at as you're walking through the concourse and so on. I really like John Wayne Airport. Tampa Airport is number two on the list. Again, this is officially large. Look who's at the bottom. It's interesting that they're large and not mega. Philadelphia International Airport is dead last.
That sounds right.
Yeah, if you've flown through Philly, I would have assumed they were a mega. No, they're listed here as a large. Now, Dulles, gosh, I think Dulles is huge down in D.C. or outside D.C. Dulles is listed as a large, not a mega. That's interesting. Unfortunately, they are below average. Across town is Reagan International. They're below average. Sorry. BWI, I've flown through a bunch of times. BWI is slightly above average. Okay. And then you get to the mega airports. Okay, these are all megas, I guess. The number one mega airport on the list, I've been through a number of times. That would be Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. All right. Now, surely you've flown through Minneapolis, haven't
that
you?
That I have.
Really nice airport. Really nice. Well-organized, clean, lots of amenities and so on. Really nice. Right behind them is Detroit. Now, Detroit's listed as a mega. Well, I think Dulles is bigger than Detroit. But okay, fine. I really like Detroit. Detroit is really great. They've got their one thoroughfare that goes underneath one of the runways, and they have all these funky multicolored lights that flash on and off as you walk from one to the other. I always called that under the sea because that's just the way it felt. It's a tunnel that goes underneath a runway, and it's just a neat walkthrough. Phoenix Sky Harbor, I have not been to in a very long time, but they are number three on the list. They're also quite good. Dallas-Fort Worth, fourth. Another nice airport. I like that one. At the bottom, Newark. If you've been to the Newark airport, you're already nodding your head. Yeah. Rough airport, okay? Not that great. LAX is below average. I'm looking for, where's Orlando? I don't see, where's Orlando on here? I don't see Orlando on here anywhere. Come on, Orlando's a mega airport. They're not even on the list. Okay, Scott, check your eyes. Oh, there's Orlando. Orlando's above average. Okay, that's fine. Very large airport. I like Orlando. Orlando Airport is quite nice. So next time you go do some flying, all right, now you know the good ones, and now you know the not-so-good ones. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back. Was there sports over the weekend besides women's softball? Yes, there was. All right. Even if that blue and white football team wasn't playing over the weekend. So we got lots of that. We have open line time later on. Of course, the whole Charlie Kirk funeral yesterday, which I think was a five-hour affair. Woo. And lots of other things. We had an interesting caller on Friday talking about immigration, and I promised that I would unveil my immigration plan. So you will get to hear Scott's immigration plan later on, which I know will make some of you angry. I'm just warning you in advance. All right? So get ready. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. Let's take a break, and we'll come right back after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. The Fox Sports Weekend.
Is your Sunday home for the National Football League, all of the big teams.
Spins into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Big names.
Burrow throws over the middle in the coverage, and it is caught. Unbelievable.
It's the NFL. Sundays
on Central PA Sports Authority.
The Fox Sports Weekend. Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox. Fox Sports.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home. Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House. A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines. The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails. Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Our streaming-only edition of Let's Talk here on a Monday morning. Yep, special show just for the internet audience. We like to do this from time to time. Show, just yeah.
There we
just
go.
Targeting those of you on the internet. We are working to get the radio station up and running. And when I say we, I mean other people that actually do work, are going to work on getting that up and running here later this morning. Well, I mean, we're just sitting here on our butt talking. It's not like we're actually doing anything to get it up and running.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do between 8 and 10 a.m.
That is correct.
So there we go.
Well, what the hype and the fun begin. It is game week for the whiteout game. Penn State, 3-0 in the season, will open up Big Ten play against 4-0 Oregon. The contest will get underway at 7:30 Saturday night at Beaver Stadium. An anxious nation awaits the showdown that could help change the narrative as well as the outlook for the remainder of the Penn State football season. Now, the Oregon Ducks are coming off a good win over the weekend. They beat their rivals from Oregon State, and they did so pretty handily. 41-7 was your final on Saturday. So, again, the Ducks are 4-0 overall. They are already 1-0 in the Big Ten. Again, Big Ten opener for Penn State, but this is the second conference game for the Ducks. They defeated Northwestern earlier this season. Again, lots of hype, lots of excitement for the game. And just as I suspected, I told you last week, look out, Penn State could drop in the AP rankings. Do you remember when I told you this?
I think I said that, Smarty Pants.
I said there was no chance, zero chance that would happen. And Mr. Giese said, I don't know. And Mr. Giese was right. In part because I didn't think any of the teams had a chance below them to have that impressive of a victory. I don't really have a problem with Miami being ranked at the moment ahead of Penn State. They definitely have more impressive wins under their belt to this point in the season. And Miami did, in fact, after the win over Florida, jump up to number 2 in the AP rankings. which have still Ohio State number one. Again, Miami now number two. Penn State coming off the bye week slips to number three. And Oregon is sitting there at number six. So in the AP rankings, this will be a 3-6 matchup, when the teams get together here on Saturday night. In the coaches poll, also released yesterday, Penn State does retain the number two ranking and Oregon retains the number five ranking. So if you want to bolster the projections for this game, you use the coaches poll, because then it's a top five matchup and it's second ranked Penn State against fifth ranked Oregon. Either way, it is a big, big game coming up here on Saturday night, and there is going to be a lot of talk all week long about this matchup. And just a little side note, since Charlie Kirk's funeral was held yesterday, Charlie was a big Oregon fan.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, huge Oregon fan. Okay. Yes. Yeah, we got to take care of business anyway. Penn State women's volleyball yesterday sweeping Central Michigan 25-21, 25-20, and 25-22 to improve to 6-4 on the season heading into Big Ten play. Kennedy Martin had 16 kills. Caroline Juravicious adding 10 kills. Addie Lyon had 32 assists. Penn State also had to rally Friday night from a 2-1 deficit to defeat Princeton in 5 sets. The Nittany Lions winning the decisive fifth set 15-8. Kennedy Martin had 29 kills Friday night, and Addie Lyon added 51 assists for the Nittany Lions. Penn State will open up Big Ten play this Friday night, hosting USC in an 8 o'clock start at Rec Hall. Penn State women's soccer team getting knocked off at home by Wisconsin yesterday 2-1. Caitlin McBean gave Penn State the early 1-0 lead, but the Badgers bounced back and take the victory 2-1. Penn State field hockey dropping a 3-2 shootout at Lafayette yesterday. The Nittany Lions slipping to 4-3 now on the season. Penn State will try to bounce back Friday when it hosts Michigan State in a 4 o'clock contest. Indiana pulled away in the second half to beat the Penn State men's soccer team Friday night 4-1. That game was knotted at one apiece after the first half, but the fifth-ranked Hoosiers were able to open things up in the second half and pull away. Kai Phillip had the Penn State goal that actually gave the Nittany Lions an early 1-0 lead before the Hoosiers scored the final four goals of the game. Jonathan Evans with 5 saves for Penn State in goal. The Nittany Lions now 2-4-1 on the season. 5 Penn State tennis players earning victories at the Women's Tennis ITA All-Americans in Cary, North Carolina over the weekend. Patricia Gregoris leading Penn State with a pair of singles victories. On Friday night, the State College football squad easily defeating Chambersburg 40-0 in its homecoming game. Connor Kolka threw 4 touchdown passes for the Little Lions, 3 of which went to Hank Lustig. Lustig caught 2 long passes on back-to-back plays from scrimmage for State High in that one. The Little Lions also getting interceptions from Rowan Walker, A.J. Fry, and Michael Yori to help preserve the shutout. State College off to a 4-1 start now this season. Kevin Smith-Kirk had an 81-yard touchdown run to put Belfont ahead for good as the Red Raiders topped Penns Valley on the Rams' homecoming night 27-20. Belfont also got the first score of the game on an 80-yard kickoff return. Carter Ironside did connect with Seth Federoff in the second quarter to give Penns Valley a 20-14 lead at halftime. The Red Raiders ultimately improving to 2-3 on the season, while the Rams are now 0-5. Bald Eagle area quarterback Graydon Fisher ran for 98 yards and a couple of touchdowns, leading the Eagles to a 21-14 win over Phillipsburg Osceola. The Eagles improving to 2-3 on the season, while the Mounties fall to 3-2. Just an absolute beatdown in Foxborough yesterday. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, that offense just humming along. Actually got off to a good start, and then things fell apart beautifully. Yeah. Thank you, dear defense. They came up with 5 turnovers to break the Foxborough curse. Steelers actually do get the win in Foxborough. We were wondering if that was even possible over the last, 15 years. Steelers get the win, 21-14. Aaron Rodgers did not have a great day, but he did connect what he needed to with the 19-yard touchdown pass to Calvin Austin that put the Steelers ahead for good with just 2:16 remaining in the contest. And then, you know, Steelers got another takeaway, because that's just kind of what they did yesterday. That part was fun. In between the turnovers was a little, shall we say, frustrating. If you are a Steelers fan, which I don't know if anybody's aware of this. I actually happen to be a Steelers fan.
What a surprise.
I try to keep that under wraps, but I'll go ahead and own up to it. Jordan Davis blocked a field goal on the final play of the game, and then he scooped it up and ran the other way for a touchdown. And the Philadelphia Eagles remain undefeated with the 33-26 victory over the Los Angeles Rams. The Eagles now 3-0 on the year. The Rams are 2-1. Might circle back to that game at some point in the show this morning. Travis Kelce and Andy Reid got into it a bit on the sideline. It was interesting game with the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. The Eagles, they do what they need to do to win, and that is the bottom line. It is a winning organization right now. And again, we'll get into some of the other NFL stories yesterday running down the scoreboard. It was the Kansas City Chiefs last night. Again, Andy Reid, once upon a time, the coach of the Eagles. Things are not, they did get the win last night. They needed to get the win. They beat the Giants and Russell Wilson. Key mistake at a key moment, and that helps Kansas City emerge with the win. But I think there's still some problems there with the Chiefs. But they got the 22-9 win last night. Speaking of problems, I am enjoying watching the issues with the Dallas Cowboys. They lost to the Chicago Bears 31-14 yesterday. The 49ers edged the Cardinals 16-15. James Conner is going to miss the rest of the season. The former Pitt running back. Boy, it would be it would just stink if you had him on your fantasy team as the number one back. Hey, I have James Conner as the the Seahawks rolled to a 44-13 win over the Saints. The Chargers, how about them Chargers? Jim Harbaugh says in the locker room after the game. Chargers beat the Broncos 23-20. The New York Jets get a late blocked field goal. they got the touchdown and they lose the game on a last second field goal anyway, because they are the J-E-T-S Jets. 29-27. The Buccaneers still win it. All right. How badly did the Packers beat the Browns? Wait, what?
What?
The Browns beat the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah, it happened. 13-10 yesterday. The final there. Atlanta Falcons apparently thought this was their bye week. This was not a scheduled bye week, dear Falcons. They lost to the Panthers yesterday 30-0.
And the Panthers are not good.
30-0 to the Carolina Panthers.
Ugh.
What are you doing, Falcons? The Commanders, Marcus Mariota steps in for Jaden Daniels and says, no worries. And the Commanders roll to a 41-24 win over the Raiders. Don't look now, but Tyler Warren and the Indianapolis Colts are undefeated, 3-0 after a 41-20 win over the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Daniel Jones has looked
very good.
Yeah.
As the Colts starter, he was 18 of 25 yesterday for 228 yards and a touchdown. It didn't hurt that he had Jonathan Taylor running the ball. He had 17 carries for 102 yards and three touchdowns for the Colts yesterday. The Jaguars beat the Texans 17-10. The Vikings edged the Bengals yesterday 48-10.
I mean,
I know Joe Burrow, I know, but the Vikings are without their starting quarterback too.
Yeah.
And but Carson Wentz is not your typical backup. You have to grant that. And tonight should be a good one in Baltimore. Let's go Lions! Detroit taking on the Ravens. America's team, the Detroit Lions. Let's get behind them, everybody. Support those Detroit Lions tonight. Now, in the upcoming week, we'll have that game for you, by the way, the Lions-Ravens game, at the very least on the Internet, but we're really, really hoping it'll be on the radio as well this evening. 7:30 will be the airtime for our coverage of Monday Night Football. Thursday night, the following weekend, we'll get underway with the Seahawks and the Cardinals. We'll have that game for you. And then we will have NFL football for you on Sunday morning from Dublin, Ireland, where the beloved Pittsburgh Steelers will take on those Minnesota Vikings in a 9:30 kickoff. Now, you may be saying to yourself, Ironhead, yeah, you're not going to be able to carry the Steelers and Vikings. You have that wonderful show with Landon Tengwall and Goon Collin where they're analyzing the action from the night before with Penn State football.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. That show goes from 9 to 10 on Sunday mornings. We can join the game in progress right at 10 o'clock. And so that
is
what we are going to do. The Dear Goon and Landon Tengwall will be there breaking down the whiteout game from 9 to 10 as per normally scheduled following the home games, but right at 10. So you will not have missed even the entirety of the first quarter. You will be able to tune in to the Steelers and the Vikings right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Come Sunday. So looking forward to that, and hopefully the Steelers can get the offense, you know, revved up a little bit. But it was nice to see the defense coming up with big play after big play in yesterday's game. Just now, if we could get kind of everything working together at once, that would be, you know, that would be nifty, is what that would be. And again, game day will be here coming up on Saturday. Everybody and their mother is coming into town. Welcome everybody. Welcome mothers. It is going to be a fun, fun week. And I do believe there's going to be a little bit of noise in Beaver Stadium come Saturday night.
Just a shade. Yeah.
So looking forward to all of it. Yeah. That is a little check of sports from the past weekend.
All right, let's take a break here. We're going to come back. We'll have open line time. I got some sports thoughts. All right. How did the Steelers win yesterday?
Just dominated the Patriots in Foxborough. Every which way, up and down the field.
How did the Eagles win yesterday? And
they just find ways.
And that dude, what was his name? Jordan Davis?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Jordan Davis is a lineman.
Yes.
Big dude.
Yes.
He blocks this kick. Somehow the ball ends up in his hands. Did you see? What is his 40 time? Did you see this guy? I figured, okay, here's a big dude. He's going to pick up the ball. He's going to rumble down the field. He outran people. And I'm thinking, who is this guy? Holy mackerel, I can't believe. I've never seen a lineman run that fast. I mean, it's just like, holy max, that's incredible. Eagles were down 26 to 7 in that game, I think they were, and somehow won the game. Wow. Amazing. All right, let's take our break. We'll come back. Open line time. Oh, lots to talk about. Are you kidding? A few more sportsy things. Some interesting college games on Saturday. Like, what the heck just happened there? You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
We don't just talk sports. We live it. Sports Radio 98.7
The Fox. Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand, Multi-Force, Stand-Ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home.
Decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House.
A delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College. So if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, and did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
Now a fraternity or sorority is a brotherhood or sisterhood formed around common goals and aspirations. These men and women make a commitment to each other for life. The members that form a fraternity or sorority share their efforts, friendship, and knowledge, where they should never, ever look the same. That's why there's PAMP, printing and more printing. All kinds of t-shirts for all of your group's events, with the artwork as wild as... artwork as visually stimulating as your mind's eye sees it.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
All across central Pennsylvania, the celebration is underway. We're back, baby!
Hallelujah.
That's right. If you turn that there radio now on at 98.7 FM, you are going to hear the magical voices of Jeff Byers. That's me! And Scott Giese. That's this fellow right over here.
That'd be me, yeah.
We're back! And the celebration will continue all week long.
And the balls are pouring
on
in.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Thank you, Engineer John. We appreciate the efforts very, very much. Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Scott.
Howdy.
Not that you would find her there, but... years ago, if you happened to be sitting at the Rathskeller or sitting in church, and Eric Kirk sitting next to you, wow.
Okay. Was she here? Okay, I missed something. Was she here?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying.
Oh, all right.
Whoa! What an incredible woman, huh?
No doubt.
I would have to say that big guy from the Eagles probably spent his entire life on the offensive line or defensive line since the time he was four, and I suspect that may be in his first touchdown. But how about this? Let's put him in the backfield in front of Saquon.
Yes.
And the first four steps, Saquon's gone.
I was going to say, I mean, Saquon has nothing on this kid. I mean, he took now maybe you're right. He blocks the kick. Now, that's a big play. All right?
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, the ball's kind of bouncing around, and there he is, and he scoops it up, and there's nothing but green grass in front of him. I bet his eyes got big as, like, dinner plates, and he's thinking, oh, my gosh, and this guy just takes off like a shot. I could not believe how fast that guy ran.
Well, a guy that size, number one, you may expect him to be able to block the kick, but he picked it up like he's been doing that his whole life. I mean, like kind of in stride, didn't fumble around, didn't fall down. That was absolutely incredible. That's got to be maybe the play of the year. That was incredible.
Actually, I wonder, is it possible he was a running back in high school and became a lineman? You don't normally see that, running back to lineman.
I don't think so.
But he ran like a running back. Poof, he's gone. I couldn't believe how fast that guy ran. He was amazing.
The Fridge Perry has absolutely nothing on that guy.
Oh, no.
Perry could run like 2.5 yards. This guy took off like Usain Bolt. You know? Poof. I mean, that was incredible.
Amazing.
I mean, I was looking at this guy and I'm thinking, holy mackerel, that guy is moving.
Yes,
he was moving.
I had the same
thought.
There's
no question about that.
Amazing. Eagles fans are thrilled.
Okay, well, here we go. 27, Oregon, 13, PSU.
27-13, bad guys.
Whoa. That's an interesting prediction.
All right, I'm marking it down.
Okay, I'll be in touch next week and then take all the accolades that you can bestow upon me.
I don't know if I would call those accolades, even if you get it right.
We will properly bestow if you are accurate, which you're not, but we will bestow appropriately. Hey, thank you for the call.
Okay, the fifth match this year, Penn State will finally lose a bout in wrestling.
A bout. Got it.
A bout. Have a good week, guys.
I enjoy the predictions very much. Thank you. Yeah, we'll take some predictions here this morning. I have three things that I'd like to hear from folks on, in terms of, and I'm going to do it kind of two ways. What do you want to see happen in each case? And then what do you think is going to happen in these three things? And two of them are Penn State football related, not surprisingly. It's whiteout week, after all. So my two questions regarding the Penn State game, and again, you can answer differently if you so choose. One is, what do you want to see happen on Saturday night, score-wise, and then what do you actually think is going to happen? Now, it could be one and the same, but you can give me, I think this is the way it's going to go, but, man, I'm really hoping this is how it goes. I also would like to get from you, because I have some, I have a list of 10 that I have come up with, of guest pickers. ESPN's Game Day has chosen Happy Valley as its locale for its Saturday morning program.
Old Main Lawn.
And so they will be at Old Main Lawn on Saturday morning. That's on the Penn State campus, if you're not familiar. And they will be there in all their glory. And what they do as part of their Saturday morning show is they get a guest picker. They have somebody from the school
Usually it's an alum. Every now and then, it doesn't necessarily have to be an alum, but the overwhelming majority of the time, it is an alum from the school that is chosen, from the school that is home for the ESPN game day set, that is chosen as the guest picker. I have 10 possibilities, and I have the one...
10?
Yep. All right. I have the one that I want to see, and then the... and then the one that I think could very well be, and then, again, some other possibilities out there. The other thing I will... So, who would you want to see, and then maybe, again, it could be one and the same. Who do you think it will be on Saturday as the guest picker? And then the third thing is, what would you like to see done out at Rockview with the grounds there and the land moving forward? And I think there's some interesting potential options there with how that that particular land could be utilized. And listen, it could be multiple. It doesn't have to be that all of the land has to be one thing and one thing only. It could be, yeah, I want to see, you know, some half of it used for this and half of it used for that, or divided into quarters, or it could be, yeah, I want to see the whole thing used as X. So if you have thoughts on any of those three things, what would you like to see happen now with the Rockview land, the property? And I guess this is presuming, and I kind of am presuming now that this is, in fact, moving forward. It seems pretty definitive now. I realize it's not 100% sure, and I know there are some folks still holding out hope and working to fight the state. Truthfully, the Quijana one really, I mean, I'm not happy, and I get that locally here in the State College area, the Rockview is the bigger impact, and I neither of them make a ton of sense to me the more I've read about it and the more we're hearing from folks about it. But the Quijana one really, to me, just makes zero sense. Like, that program, the return on investment, I guess, is what I'm looking at there. And I don't, it just does not make any sense to me. Everybody seems to agree that that program is really well run and has been overall extremely effective.
You ever been there?
I have, I mean, not in it, and not,
well,
but,
no.
But yes, I have driven
okay.
past the...
For folks who aren't familiar,
area.
This is just near Carthus.
Yes.
It's at the top of a mountain, if you will. There's a road that goes through the facility. In my old job, if I was heading up to Potter County or Cameron County, I often went that way.
Yeah, I've only been past it.
It's a beautiful drive.
Yeah.
So, but the facility essentially is in the middle of nowhere. It really is. It's
yes.
up on top of a mountain,
which pretty, is a pretty good place. For
yeah,
that
pretty
type of facility.
Pretty isolated. Yeah,
actually,
not what's the term I want? Not high profile prisoners.
Right.
It was a boot camp. These were people who did something stupid, probably wherever they came from, a lot from the city. And they removed them from that area. You went to this boot camp, and you essentially paid your prices. You did various things at the boot camp. It was not crazy. And at the end of your period, it's like, okay, now you're clean. Go back and behave yourself now. And, yeah, everything I've ever read about that boot camp, incredibly successful. They have not a factory, but they've got a manufacturing facility there, and so people learn skills and all that. So, in other words, it was rehabilitation, like actual rehabilitation. And people left there, and what's the fancy term? Recidivism? Like you go get in trouble again?
Yep.
Pretty low.
Very low.
So let's close it. Okay.
Yeah, sure. That one just...
That's a great plan.
anyways, let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Not too shabby, all things considered. I'm doing much better thanks to the Steelers' defense yesterday.
Okay. Hey, real quick on the Rockview land, and this is why we shouldn't ever let politicians and out-of-state study groups tell us what to do. As someone that was involved in building of the Benner prison, as everyone knows, sort of sits in behind between the two highways, they should take those blueprints, spin it and put it over towards another one. Build an identical, same one, but over towards where the center crest is now sitting in that field. Okay. Once it's built, move the prisoners into the new prison. If that's what you're going to say, state-of-the-art, ADA and everything else, bring everybody into the new prison. Call it college. Okay? We got College Township, Benner Township. Retrofit what is left of Rockview. You're going to lose some buildings, but for the most part, retrofit Rockview into a classification center. When you enter the system, leaving whatever county, like right now, everyone goes, I believe, to Greaterford, but I could be wrong on that. But everyone goes to a classification prison. Send them to Rockview, center of the state, then they get sent out to wherever they're going to go. It becomes a holding classification prison until they get assigned to a permanent location inside the correctional institute. That's ground is number one thing that they'll turn around and do this, and then you watch within 3 years, they're going to go out and spend hundreds of millions of dollars, the state will, to buy somebody else's ground to do what I'm explaining right now. So you would have a new prison called College, looking back at Benner, Rockview becomes a classification center. If you really, I drive through Quihanna area almost weekly. I agree with everything you guys just said, but let's just say benefit of the doubt. Let's just say it's not maybe up to standards as far as that's where everyone says, like, we don't have enough air conditioning for these people, or the TV isn't clear enough, so the reception isn't good enough. So the carpet isn't plush enough for these people to walk on. Why don't you go up on the mountain behind the railroad tracks and build a new center on some of this 5,700 acres that the state owns under DOC, and why don't you build that new Quihanna boot camp here on Mount Nittany, but on prison grounds?
You're making too much sense. So that's a real problem.
It really does make a ton of sense.
The other person I talked to about this, the classification center, and I know it's not Greaterford, it's somewhere down Camp Hill where they go to now. There, it's being studied to be closed, too. So that's what I'm trying to say is if you started now and built a new college prison, and you can move everyone out of Rockview into it, and then rehabbed Rockview into the classification prison for the state DOC. And like I said, if you want to, okay, you win. Maybe Quihanna isn't up to snuff, or it isn't, you know, you're out of room, or you don't want to, you don't have the room to do what you want, or maybe it does the repairs. Build a new one here, and then move everyone from Quihanna down to whatever you want to name it. Potter, I don't care. You know, you guys figure out the names, but you could build a new, and I agree with everything you said as far as the recidivism rate is great. But you could build, the ground is 90% of the key of the prices of this stuff. Because what I'm afraid they're going to do is give this ground away, and then we're going to end up going to a company in Connecticut and leasing the Rockview State Police Center like we do now when we gave it away for a dollar, and then now we're paying, what, 30 or 40 grand a month to rent that? That's what they pay on Rockview, on the Benner Pike for their state police. They turn around and charge us that much a month for the state police to be there.
Caller, have you shared your ideas with any like official type person? Because I think they're pretty good.
I work for a living, Scott. No one listens to us. Gentlemen, have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks
for the phone call. Appreciate that perspective and those ideas.
All right,
love it.
Yeah, big city politicians. I mean, is it just, we got to take a break. Is it just me that more and more the central part of the state and the northern part of the state essentially are just being ignored? It's like we're not even here. And so everything the caller kind of mentioned there, yeah, I wouldn't even be surprised a number of years down the road. Oh, yeah, we have to open up a new facility and it won't be here. It'll be in some big city area with big city politicians backing the idea. And once again, the middle of the state and the northern part of the state gets screwed. That's just an observation. Otherwise, why are we doing this? All right, let's take a break here. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.7 The Fox. See, now I'm a little bitter. Now I'm a little angry, which could make for a good show. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Fox Sports.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football.
The road to Super Bowl 60 starts right here all season long. Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there, stop in today.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox State.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, and yes, we're on the radio as well as streaming. Phone line is open and available for your use at 814-954-7266. 814-954-7266 will get you into the big show this morning. We're taking your predictions on Penn State, Oregon. We're taking your predictions on who the guest picker will be on ESPN's Game Day, and we can also take your ideas for, hey, what should be done with the land at the Rockview State Prison.
Are you going to tell us your 10 picks?
I can do that.
So you have 10.
I have 10. I actually have more than that, but I have 10. And one of my top two should be the guest picker.
Okay. You want to enlighten
It should
us?
Be either Pommel Horse Guy, Stephen Netorosik, as he continues to make the rounds, most recently on Celebrity Family Feud. Just an eminently likable fellow. Has risen to fame well beyond the sports realm. And again, a wonderful, proud Penn State alum. Pommel Horse Guy would be at the top of my list. I think he should be the guest picker come Saturday. The fans would go wild if it was Stephen Nettorosa.
The women would swoon.
Pommel Horse Guy. If not Stephen Nettorosa, I would suggest one Bo Nickel. Bo Nickel is now wildly famous on the MMA circuit. He's also on the RFA circuit. RAF, sorry. Too many letters in my mind. The Real American Freestyle. And, of course, a very famous Penn State alum. And let's not forget that his signature moment was a victory over Ohio State. I mean, come on.
Well, they're playing Oregon, though.
So, Bo Nickel, who is the rival? Have you not been paying attention to Penn State football?
I don't know.
Good heavens, Mr. Geezy. The thorn in our side, it has not been Oregon. It has been Ohio State.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Bo Nickel would be one of those two, really should be the guest picker here on Saturday.
Well, somebody else online picked Pommel Horse Guy. I'm like, okay, yeah, he'd be kind of, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Stephen Nettorosa, by the way, real name. Now, I don't know him, never met him. I assume he knows football? Is he a football guy? Does he know football? Like, he's the pick-em. He's supposed to pick somebody.
Have you seen?
No, I don't. I really don't tune in.
Yeah.
I don't tune in.
It is about the...
I have other things to do.
They throw out their picks. It is not... You don't have to be a football person to be the guest picker.
All right. It will not be Keegan...
Kids, can you help me?
It will not be Keegan Michael Key again, because he's done it before. Right? They wouldn't bring back somebody, would they?
Yeah, they would never bring him back more than once.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's been more than once, right? They wouldn't do that again. So what are your other eight? You said you have 10.
Yes. You want to get the crowd revved up? Bring on one Gavin McKenna and watch this crowd go bonkers.
Oh, okay.
Gavin McKenna, if you're not aware, is the now freshman at Penn State who is the rising star in hockey. Like, people are projecting him to be the next NHL superstar when he gets to that point in his career. And, of course, he's coming into Penn State, presumably, to play for one season. But we're thinking it is going to be one magical season. Gavin McKenna would get that crowd revved up.
Okay.
I would throw Gavin McKenna very much into the mix. Now, this would be my sentimental choice. I think there is very little chance that this one would happen, but I think it would be great on a whole number of fronts. And if I were in charge, the first call I would actually make, second would be to Stephen Nettorosa, third would be to Bo Nickel. First call I would make is, hey, Sue Paterno, could you come on down to Old Main? And it would be, it would be magical. It would just be a magical moment. I would love, capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E, and I'm even going to put 10 exclamation points after that E. Love to see that one.
That would be interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our guest picker, Sue Paterno!
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. That would be fantastic.
That'd
stuff.
Be great, yeah.
So those would be my, those are my top picks. Now, I would be perfectly happy with any of the following as well. I think Jonas Suotamo, or is it Sudam? I keep messing up his last name.
No idea.
I think it's Suotamo, actually.
Okay.
I keep messing that up. Jonas is a former Penn State men's basketball player who went on to play Chewbacca in the Star Wars series. He would be fun. I think he's from Finland. Has some other gigs as well in the acting world. I think that one would be a hoot. I think it would be a whole lot of fun. Now, some others that I think would be really cool. What about Jack Ham? He'll be there. If you're not aware, Jack does the radio call with Steve Jones. Jack is a legendary figure at Penn State, not just with his broadcasting, which he obviously is an absolute phenom at breaking down plays and analyzing what is happening in a game, but one of the all-time greats at linebacker for Penn State and one of the all-time greats at linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And there just happen to be a lot of Steelers fans in the area as well. Okay. So I think Jack Ham would be a really fun, cool guest picker.
That's good choice.
I would throw him into the mix.
Yeah.
Now we get into some sentimental ones for yours truly. One would be, I think it would be fun to get Terry Pegula on as a guest picker.
Oh.
Now, he likes being not at the forefront. He is not a Jerry Jones type of owner. He owns the Sabres and the Bills and, of course, is the driving economic force behind Pegula Ice Arena and the move for Penn State hockey to Division I. I think it would be really fun to get Terry Pegula on there, and maybe even bring. I'll throw and or Jessica Pegula, who is a
tennis star,
famous women's tennis player now from the United States. If you can get that tandem on, that would be even better. But at one of the Pegulas, and I just think that would be a lot of fun. I think Char Moret, legendary field hockey coach. She was an Olympian, even though because of the boycott, she didn't get to participate. She will bring the energy. If they bring her on the set, energy will not be a concern on Saturday. Now, we can also, there's kind of a hockey theme here, but I think Guy Gadowski would be an absolute hoot.
I was waiting for that one.
To have on as guest picker as well. And you know, he could remove his tooth. He could have a lot of fun in a lot of different ways with the crowd. And then the other guest picker that I think would be, would just get, again, fans fired up is Adam Taliaferro, the former Nittany Lions standout, who is always going to be remembered extremely fondly by Penn State fans. Keegan-Michael Key seems to be their go-to pretty consistently. And listen, he is a ton of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously proud Penn Stater and the whole bit, so won't be shocked if it is Keegan-Michael Key again, and it's not the worst thing in the world. But, yeah, I think Steven Nedorosic or Bo Nickel would be the way to go. I would love to see either Sue Bitorto or Gavin McKenna as well. I think any of those four would be home runs for ESPN game day, myself. Okay. Now, if you have thoughts, if there's somebody I haven't mentioned, there's some other former players that I think would be a lot of fun to throw into the mix there as possible guest pickers. If the schedule had worked out, and it doesn't work out, but I think getting like an active NFL player, like a Tyler Warren, who was a superstar. And I think the Colts, I looked this up, they're on the road somewhere. It's not possibility.
I was thinking Saquon Barkley, but the Eagles are in Tampa this weekend. That's not going to work.
No, that is not going to work. So, we'll see. It'll be fun to see who ultimately is the guest picker for ESPN's game day. But one of those should be the guest picker on Saturday.
Now, you have these all written down, right?
I do have them.
Okay, because we'll have to see, obviously, eventually what happens with these guys. Doesn't LeVar come to every home game?
He does. LeVar would be an excellent choice as well. He would be a lot of fun. I'm guessing, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a bit of a rivalry between ESPN and Fox.
Yes.
And I'm guessing that might be a tough sell for the ESPN folks, but I don't know. Maybe not. There's been some crossover over the years, so that I don't think it necessarily precludes it. And LeVar would be, yes, an absolute blast there as well. He would have a ton of fun with those guys.
Make him number 11 on your list.
All right. Oh, I see what you did
number
there.
Number 11.
Number
on the
11,
list.
Yes.
Yeah, that might be a bridge too far for ESPN. Because
that would be my guess, but networks, I guess you never know for sure.
Okay. Pommel horse guy. Yeah, he would be very popular. Soup Eterno, I would love to see Supa.
Oh, it would be so awesome.
The only problem is some of you cling to politics after 13 years because of what happened 13 years ago, which, of course, Sue had nothing to do with, that somehow that would... Some university person would probably say, well, maybe... that's when you just want to slap somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, give me a break. You kidding? The crowd would go bananas for her. They would go berserk.
They would.
It would be an interesting first step. I don't know if the university... This is ESPN's pick, obviously. I don't know if the university has any input on, well, we'd really like you to use this person. I have no idea if that's the way it works. I have no clue. But it would be an interesting first step for this university to finally start recognizing Joe again, which we've all been waiting for, to have Sue as the guest picker. And then maybe start to do some other things down the line. Just a thought. All right, let's take a break here. All right, if you want to chime in on one of his picks, all right, or you have some person, hey, what about this person? Okay, you can throw them up. ESPN, I'm sure, is streaming us this morning. They're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some newsy stuff, of course. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Actual rain, oh my gosh, coming. We'll have him later on. We'll be back with more after this.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead.
Ironhead and the Goon.
Exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Kevin Harlan here from Monday Night Football on Westwood One. Join us all season long for primetime action on the road to the playoffs and Super Bowl 60. Each week, Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner and I will have the call of great matchups, along with Mike Golic, senior and junior, in the studio. Don't miss out on the great NFL tradition that is Monday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Looking for something different? But you want something that's quick and affordable that won't set you back in the pocketbook? Then you need to head down to Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub, right next to the Center County Courthouse on North Allegheny Street in downtown Belfast. They feature only the best pizza in town and also the finest selections from Robin Hood Brewing Company, University Wines, and Big Spring Liquors. Come celebrate Happy Hour in Happy Valley every Tuesday through Saturday from 4 to 6 at Brothers Pizza and Courthouse Pub in downtown Belfast.
Eating healthy is important for us and for our animals. The Center Hall Farm Store knows this. Local, fresh ingredients are put in all of our feeds. Expert care from people ingrained in our community. If you haven't been to the Center Hall Farm Store yet, do yourself and your animals a favor and stop on in at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall. See what a difference the local touch can make in providing real quality. And be sure to check out our website at centerhallfarmstore.com.
Getting ready for tailgating or weekend? You need to stock up at the 64 Beer Store near Lamar. The 64 Beer Store has the coldest beer in the county. Over 400 selections, including IPAs, ciders, Oktoberfest beers, cocktails, and wines.
The 64 Beer Store carries ready-to-drink cocktails.
Conveniently located near Lamar on Nittany Valley Drive, just a half mile north from I-80 on Route 64. On the way from here to there. Stop in today.
This is Jim Galante from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, join me, Dustin Hawkinsmith, T. Frank Carr, Andy Shea, and Jeff Byers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox and State College. We'll bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more on the Nittany Lions. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. right here on Fox Sports 98.7 for the Keystone Kickoff Show.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, coming off a busy little weekend and getting ready for the weekend of September. It's Whiteout Weekend, Penn State and Oregon, 7:30 on Saturday night. What do you think's going to happen? Penn State versus Oregon, who is going to be the guest picker, and then separately, what should become of the land at Rockview State Prison. We have all of those topics open for discussion. Yesterday, it was like I was living back in the late 70s. CBS Sports was, they did their throwback day.
Oh, yeah.
It was like 50 years of CBS football on the air, and they were doing all kinds of retro things. Bill Cowher's outfit was quite the outfit, as everybody on the set had quite the outfit, but Cowher's was something. I will say that. But for one glorious day, I mean, the Pirates are pounding the Athletics 11-0. The Steelers' defense is coming up with turnovers galore. They're winning a game over the Patriots. It was, for one day, it was like I was back in the 70s. Pittsburgh just dominating, having themselves a ball both on the baseball diamond and on the gridiron for one day. It was kind of fun.
One whole day.
Yep. I enjoyed it very much for one day.
Yeah, CBS was doing the 70s style graphics on the screen, which was
throwback to 50 years
ago. I mean, it was interesting. Like, okay, that's a little weird. But they had a shot inside their their production truck. All right. So these TV networks, they get these big tractor trailers and they pull in and they hook up all their wires and they have a production truck where the director is and the technical director is and so on. And I guess this one gal, I think she might have been the technical director, but she looked like she stepped out of Woodstock. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. People did not dress like that in production trucks in the 1970s. Come on. No, they didn't. Now, if it's Halloween, okay, she looked the part, like straight out of Woodstock. By the way, Woodstock was 1969, for what it's worth. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, just that was kind of wild. What was it? On TV. By the way, I find it interesting that J.J. Watt continues to announce Pittsburgh Steelers games featuring his brother. That's more than one game he's done now.
Who had sacks yesterday.
Yeah.
That was fun.
And Ian Eagle was the play-by-play guy with this massive mustache. And at first I'm thinking, Ian, what did you do to yourself? Then I thought, oh, yeah, the 70s thing. Okay, all right, that's fine. I mean, he's like, this was a massive mustache. Like, where did you get that thing? Holy smokes. The guest picker I'll narrow down to just two. You ready? Just two.
All right.
Pommel horse guy would be one.
Yeah.
Steven Nedorosik. He would be great. Guy Gadowski would be the other one. I would say it's not going to be Gavin McKenna. All right. I think, now granted, online at least, the Penn State, what you call them, PR people, they like to have fun, which is great. And so I've seen a lot of the Penn State men's hockey players, including McKenna, like he's out and about and here he is and he's doing this and they're doing some shtick and so on. I'm thinking this might be a little much for a college freshman. It might be a little much. But Guy Gadowski, okay. He would be an excellent choice, and he would be giving it to those guys, the ESPN dudes, and, of course, great publicity for the hockey team in the upcoming season. So I'm thinking Pommel Horse Guy or Guy Gadowski. going to be one of those two.
Yeah, Katie Schumacher Colley would be a wonderful choice too, but they are going to be a little busy, and I'm not sure that. I mean, maybe she could fit it into her schedule. I think she'd be a wonderful choice. She is would be again would light up the set, would get a wonderful ovation. I just I'm wondering with her schedule, and I mean they. She may be able to make that work. I think that would be another possibility here. But again, it's trying to fit it into a busy weekend already on the coaching front for the coach, and I'm not sure that that would fit in. I mean, they don't have anything on Saturday, but they have matches Friday night against USC. 8 o'clock, by the way. Be there at Rec Hall. And then I think it's noon on Sunday against UCLA.
Noon on Sunday.
What did I say? I think I said Sunday.
Yeah, not Saturday. Maybe it'd be on Sunday.
I think I said Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday at
all
noon.
Right. No, I'm just saying.
Against UCLA.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, she'd be a good choice. So, anyway, what do you folks think? All right. 814-954-7266. By the way, last week we had a lot of guests last week. This week we're a bit more open with the program, although Wednesday could be interesting. One of the new leaders of the Penn State College Republicans is going to join us actually in studio.
Love it.
He's going to come on over here. We're still working on the college Democrats, and the only reason I say that is class schedules. All right, we're a morning show. Their top folks apparently all have morning classes. So we got to see if we can figure out a way to, you know, get one of them on when we're not messing up their class schedule. We don't want to do that. We started doing that over a year ago. Very well received, very well spoken young people. Especially with the last 2 weeks, what are these folks thinking? What are young people thinking? That's Wednesday's show. Get ready for that. Let's take a call.
Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Morning, guys. Hi. I think this will probably be my last opportunity to irritate you this week. I'm thinking in terms of those to be interviewed, this is a spinoff of that new show you started with Jim and Chris and a third guy. I didn't quite get his name. I heard it on Friday. I was completely entertained. I guess I should be better with names, so I'm best wishes to that. And they're going to be on like 3 times a week, right? I think. Or
well,
did I misunderstand
Chris,
that?
So Chris does his show from 2 to 3 on Mondays, Wednesdays, and normally on Fridays, and then Jim does a show, separate show from 3 to 4, normally on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But on Home Football Fridays, the two of them, yes, are going to team up together, and it'll be the. I think I keep mixing it up now too. It's either the. It's either the Friday Football Frenzy or the Football Friday Frenzy. But it's those words in some order.
I think Friday comes first.
I don't think that's
like
right. I think football actually comes first.
Right. Some of the conversation that got into, you know, now that we're past with the so-called cupcake schedule, they still took their tailgating very seriously these past 3 games. So I'm wondering... Do we recognize the best tailgate or, you know, consistently over a season? Or is there some type of internal award that goes to, you know, between tailgaters? Is there some recognition? And wondering if that shouldn't become some national story.
There are people. I don't think there's an internal thing that I'm aware of. There are, and I don't even know who all does them, but I know there have been at least over the years. It's like our tailgate of the week. We go to so and so's tailgate, and they have fun there.
I don't think there's anything terribly official about it. It might have been with Goon and his protege.
Yep.
On Sunday morning, they were both agreeing that, I think it was both programs. The whole phenomenon of the whiteout, including the tailgate experience, the whole week-long experience, is so huge to the recruiting. And I guess it compensates for the fact, you know, we don't have the most millions of dollars in the pot, but we have this, and everyone seems to settle on the term family. We have this family culture. And I enjoy hearing about that. But with that, like I said, I'm probably not going to get in again this week because things are going to be so busy. Is this kind of like a Super Bowl week for the Nittany Lion players? I mean, is there a risk that they'll get like pulled into all the distractions and all this culture that I enjoy? But as players, I'm thinking, you know, they probably need to stay a little focused until after the game.
There's no question. It is one of the challenges of this week. There is a ton of media requests and obligations in some cases with ESPN and obviously with the local media and all of it. And yes, there will be guaranteed. The players are getting more requests for more family members. Remember me, your second cousin Arthur. I'm coming in. I can hardly wait to see.
Yeah, yeah.
So yes, managing that. I mean, James Franklin has done a very good job of, and I think the leadership on this team understands the situation. But they are very aware of the potential distractions there, and it is something that they address during the week. It is fun, and it's cool that you have a bunch of family members and stuff in town. And once that game ends, get together with them Sunday morning and enjoy. In the meantime, we got to get down to business and make sure we're dialed in here on Saturday.
All right. We'll be dialed in myself all week. Take care, guys.
I love it. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the phone call.
Thanks for your call.
And we will head right back to the phones. Good morning. You are live on Let's Talk.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Got your transmitter issue fixed.
Yeah, we're very appreciative. And I gave credit to the wrong person. It was our buddy Sam that actually went up. I thought it was going to be John heading up this morning. So thank you to Sam, who has us back up and on the air here today.
Well, I have two things for you that I wanted to call in about. I noticed that the Lock Haven Express ran a front page article on the decision to get rid of the Weather World channel and everything. And in the process, they also said, geez, the president gets a 47% raise. Now, I'm sure, I'm just your average guy out here, so I'm just listening on the radio, but I'm sure there's probably some trustees listening to your show. And I think it would be appalling, you know, to let something like that go when you're going to turn around and give your president a 47% raise. That's that kind of gripe on my end. And the other one I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be 27-21 Oregon with Drew Aller doing a last-minute touchdown drive and finishing up with a 28-27 PSU win.
Okay. All right. So you got Penn State.
I like it. All right. They pull it out at the end. All right. Hey, we appreciate the phone call. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Yep. Bye-bye. All
right. And yeah, the optics on that, we can get into the, and at some point this week with the open phone time we have, we don't really have time to get into it the way I think it needs to be delved into. The optics there were about as bad as you could get, my opinion. For Penn State. Hey, sorry, we gotta shut down. There's just no money available. Hey! 47% raise. I think you can understand, even in tough economic times, she's steering you through. It's like, oh yeah, no, I get a raise. 47% raise. And again, I'm not, there are people bagging on Neely Bendapudi. This is on the board. It's not Bendapudi. What person in their right mind? Now, maybe given circumstances, maybe there are some people that, you know what? I'm good with, let's do like a 5 or 6% and we'll revisit it again down the road. I don't blame her for accepting it. It's like, well, yeah, you want to give me more money to keep doing the job. I'll happily accept that money. And again, we can get into it later in the week. I think you could make an argument that, in order to keep Neely Bendapudi, you may need to, just like when you have a hot commodity as a coach, It's like, well, man, we're spending a lot of money already. Well, yeah, but now there's other people coming and offering more money. You can make that argument, whether or not folks buy it. I think that argument can be made. They didn't make the argument. They just, hey, here you go. And on the heels of some of the decisions that have been made with the Commonwealth campuses and now with WPSU, it has been a struggle on the PR front. It is as if Penn State almost goes out of its way to give itself bad PR. And I just, for the life of me, I don't understand how you can go through as many situations as they've gone through and not learn from it and not, hey, let's try to get out ahead of the optics of these stories. And they just, it doesn't seem to matter the administration. It doesn't seem to matter who's in charge of the board, who's on the board. It just, nope, we're just going to keep plowing ahead with no regard for the public relations disasters that we continue to put ourselves in.
Yes.
It is actually fairly amazing that they just do not seem to learn ever from the circumstances that they find themselves and largely put themselves in.
Fairly bumbling, I think is a good word.
We'll take a break here. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, rolls your way next.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7,
The Fox.
Ryan Ragney here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Join Mike Golic and me every Sunday for a marquee primetime NFL matchup. Scott Graham gets things started with a pregame show from the studio with exclusive player interviews and the latest league news. Then from the stadium, Mike and I bring you the exclusive play-by-play call of the action. Join us every week for Sunday Night Football.
Catch all the action all season long. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Save big and head to your local Toro dealer, Maxwell Equipment, for the sales event going on now. Stop in today and get up to $1,500 off select Z-Master mowers and Grandstand Multi-Force stand-ons, plus $500 off select attachments. Visit Maxwell Equipment on Shiloh Road for more details on promotions and financing offers. Toro, count on it.
Join us for the Goon and Ironhead Show, Tuesday and Thursday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Goon loves Philadelphia sports. I love Pittsburgh sports. We both love Penn State sports, and we both just like talking sports, and you never know where the discussion will take us. That's part of the fun. Join us for the good times, Tuesday and Thursday afternoon from 2 to 4, right here on Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
You know, a hotel's just a hotel, but a house is a home, decorated to perfection with pride, love, and attention to detail. That's what you'll experience when you stay at the Keller House, a delightful 1887 home in the village of Center Hall, Pennsylvania. The Keller House is not just a bed and breakfast. The moment you open the door, you'll be amazed at the historic, unique, cozy feel of this beautiful Victorian home. The Keller House is just minutes away from State College, so if you're going to the game, turn your trip into a mini vacation. The Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Oh, did I mention the delicious homemade cooked breakfasts? So good. Plus, you can choose from one of five themed bedrooms, each with its own bathroom and a central sitting room downstairs. Wireless high-speed internet is also provided. So, whether you're by yourself or bringing the whole family, the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall will be your home away from home. KellerHouseBB.com. That's KellerHouseBB.com. 109 West Church Street, Center Hall.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday morning, final segment of our Monday show. Normally, we check in with Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, and, well, hey, let's do that.
Yeah.
That's Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, joining us via the phone line. Good morning, Mr. Bastardi.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. That's what I call you, but you know what you are.
We'll take gentlemen, that is for sure. There was some stuff falling from the sky, at least at my house this morning, Joe. Have we gotten any word on it? It was like wet. What in the world was that?
I didn't have any at my house, but there is going to be some of those mysterious liquid drops, and a lot of them showing up, I think, later tonight into tomorrow, and then again around Thursday. But the good news is, the weather looks good for this this little event that we have going on Saturday and Saturday night here in Happy Valley.
Ask about it, and this is good throughout the day. Like the tailgating is going to be fine too.
There may be a pretty good amount of fog in the morning, but we have a 7:30 game, so. That means that the tailgate, so let's say you have a noon game, you're out there trying to tailgate at 7:30, it wouldn't be very good. But, there's an old saying among weathermen, and I'm an old weatherman, fog at 7, sun by 11, the afternoon's a slice of heaven. And so I think that, we've got that idea down for Saturday, and Saturday is going to be a wonderful, beautiful, just incredible day.
I'm hoping
the evening follows that, and but that's how the weather will be fine, but the mood of the people around 11 or 11:30 will not be because of the weather.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of fogginess come Sunday morning. Either way is my guess, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah. All right. Well. Okay, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, Joe, I think there's a hurricane somewhere out there and allegedly something behind it. So what's going on here?
Well, we got Gabrielle, and the pattern is similar to 2022, where we had Earl, Fiona, and then Ian. Earl recurved east to Bermuda. Fiona developed and recurved a bit west of Bermuda. And then Ian came out of the Caribbean. And we're probably going to see Gabrielle is the first of two or three storms in a row that we see develop over the next couple of weeks. We've been waiting for a big end game this year. And it's interesting in that the U.S. model has just been rock solid consistent on this weekend, bringing this second system right over Cape Hatteras by Sunday night and Monday morning. And I don't really believe that. I think it's going to be further east, but I think there'll be a third development behind it, or something that is going to try to impact the United States. Maybe one or two of them the following week. So the tropics are really heating up. Well, what we see is classic. Someone that I talked to a lot of times, the National Hurricane Center, named Gil Clark, and back in the 1980s. I used to run up these massive phone bills talking to guys at the National Hurricane Center back then, Bob Case, Gil Clark, some of these great forecasters. And we didn't have the computers we do now. We had some of them. And they taught me so much. And Gil used to always say he would watch the Western Pacific, and then you'd see, and we've got two monster typhoons out there. One, a super typhoon located just north of the Philippines, and it's heading for China and Vietnam. The other is recurving east of Japan. And then you watch what goes on off the west coast of Mexico, and then it spreads into the Atlantic Basin. So similar to most of the last few years, we've seen these late season bursts. And it's interesting in that, I got a lot of guys on my side of the global warming issue that are making a big deal about the lack of the hurricane season. And I keep trying to tell them, you don't Leon Lett the hurricane season. Remember Leon Lett trying to spike the ball before he went into the end zone or whatever? You don't drop the football at the 1 yard line. And there's sort of, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I'm going to be wrong. But they're setting themselves up to get a shove right down their throat. If you have, for instance, October like 1950 or this burst, it looks like it's going to be occurring, because then the other side's going to come back and cherry pick those things and say, look at this. And it's entirely possible that happens. It's really a shame that the whole weather and climate thing is, turned into this, because the pendulum swinging back and forth in the arguments just really sort of hides the middle ground and what to look at as far as the overall ideas. For instance, Gabrielle has intensified rapidly. But look where it intensified. It intensified up near 30 degrees north again, out of the main, what we call the main development region of the tropics. And this is part of the distortion pattern, and I've noticed it in the Pacific especially, and in the Atlantic, that you get these storms that tend to intensify quite far north, and they're not as strong further south. Now, there are exceptions. Erin this year did intensify quite rapidly further south, and the storm last year. What was the name of the second storm? The B storm last Beryl, that's right. I wish they just named these storms like they used to, like Buck. Like, why can't we have a Buck or something like that? Instead, we got all these names that they got two syllables, and I can't remember.
Or a Billy Bob. I want a Billy Bob.
A Hurricane Bob. Yeah, there you go.
Or Arch. Hurricane Arch.
There you go. I do have a question along those lines, because I'm reading through as we're getting ready during the break. I'm like, I do want to just get a couple of updates, check a couple of different sources. There is a CNN story. This was just posted 22 minutes ago. The third paragraph of the story on the hurricane reads as follows. Gabrielle's winds have increased by 55 miles per hour in 24 hours, far exceeding the baseline for rapid intensification of a 35 mile per hour increase over the same time period. Rapid intensification has become far more common in recent years as the planet warms due to fossil fuel pollution.
No, that's not true. The reason you're getting those things is because of these are very small storms. In fact, Gabrielle's hurricane force winds only extend out 25 miles. Storm's about 150 miles southeast of Bermuda. It's currently partly sunny with a northeast wind at 12 miles an hour in Bermuda. So naturally, if the energy is not spread out over a larger area, it's able to focus on the center. But the total energy involved with these compact systems is not as great as the larger scale systems. I was reading a blog on Helene, talking about how huge Helene was. Well, Helene wasn't even as big as 6, 7, 8 storms that we saw back in the 1950s and 1960s. 1944 hurricane had hurricane force winds extending out 200 miles to the west, 300 miles to the east. 38 hurricane. Some of these things were so big. Yeah, I got a picture of Hurricane Carla. And it was about maybe 18 hours before landfall in Texas, and its cloud mass covered the entire Gulf of Mexico. And so what happens is they tell snippets of truth. There's a reason these things are intensifying very quickly further north like that, because that's where the resistance is. That's where the distortion of the warming has been more to the north than in the tropics. And so what happens is they get further north, they intensify rapidly, they spin up, and then they go out. And it's not a big deal. Now, the problem you have is the ones that are developing in close in the Gulf of Mexico, you know. And if you look at since 2017, no major hurricane has hit the United States that was a major hurricane 2 days before. They all have been major hurricanes. They all become major hurricanes within a day or two of the coast. And that would figure because what we call convergence, where the air comes together, would enhance more with a hurricane coming toward the coast, the small hurricane. You get a big hurricane like Katrina. Remember, Katrina was a 5, but by the time it got to the coast, it was down to a 3 because it was spreading out so much. So it's a matter of if you want to, it's amazing they do that. This is how deceptive CNN is. We are in a top 10 low year for what we call the ACE index globally. That's unbelievable. They go, the planetary amount of tropical activity is in the bottom 10% of known ACE activity at the end of September, and they make a big deal about a 120 mile wide storm that is focused at the center. And it's why we have to get rid of the Saffir-Simpson scale. We have to go to the Weatherbell Power and Impact scale, which takes into account the size of the storm. Very important. The reason you saw Sandy with 80-mile-an-hour winds pile all that water into you know, Newark and all these other places is because the 80-mile-an-hour winds were not only at the center, they were extending out 100 to 200 miles, so the total cumulative energy massed over the water was greater than, let's say, if you had a 120-mile-an-hour storm that was just very, very small. All right, so and the smaller the storm, the quicker it's going to weaken when it reaches land, too. So there's a lot of different things. And it's like anything you see today. There are always elements of truth that are stated by these people, whether it's, you know, whatever political thing you want to look at. But they refuse to show the big picture. And I think it's because of the fact that they don't want to compete. That, you know, this whole everybody gets a trophy idea means that you don't want your ideas challenged. That's exactly opposite of what I grew up with as a younger person. Certainly, it's an opposite of the wrestler's mentality. Okay, if you're a wrestler, I mean, the only way to get better is to compete, as opposed to now. And that's why you see, I think, you know, we just had a guy who, whatever you want to think about him, loved to debate. And, you know, one thing I didn't follow Charlie Kirk that closely. I knew who he was. But I went back and looked at his videos. He looked just like to debate and be a nice guy. You know, and they just completely don't want to debate that kind of issue. And so it's like that in the weather. It's like that in climate. It's like that in whatever you want to say. And it's just the way it is today. And you have to try to, you know, when you get a chance to talk about it, say, well, you know, let me show you the big picture here. And then for those that want to listen, maybe they'll go look. If they don't, there's nothing I can do about it. So I don't really worry about that much anymore.
All right. Now, Joe, we got a week of September left, roughly. All right. We've got a week left. September is supposed to be like ground zero for hurricanes, right? September is supposed to be it.
Well, we do because of the way the warming is. When you have distorted warming and the warming is spread out over a larger area, you generally have a situation where you have to wait for it to start getting cooler, because when it starts getting a little cooler, it can focus the energy. You see what I'm saying? If it's just warm all over, what's the need for a hurricane or a tropical storm? Because hurricanes are nature's way of taking heat out of the tropics, redistributing into the temperate regions. If you don't have any reason for that, that's what you're seeing this year. You're seeing it. This has been going on in the Western Pacific, folks, for 20 years. I've been watching this. No one wants to pay attention to it. So it comes into the Atlantic Basin, and people are starting to pay attention to it, that there's not a lot of development in the main development regions. So what happens is when the seasonal shift takes place and the atmosphere naturally tries to cool, even though it's warmer than normal, there is a 2-3-4 week window a lot of times where you get this perfect area for development, and you've been seeing these later season storms after September 15th doing this stuff. Remember, Helene was the 26th, and then Milton came along early in October. And I suspect we may see something, we could see something all the way into November. And it's just yet another reason why I've chastised some of the people on my side of the global warming issue trying to make a big deal about the lack of hurricanes. Say, you guys, you better just shut your mouth, because this thing could wind sprint at the end and really make you look silly. So in any case,
the important thing, Joe, is that we have good weather for the whiteout.
Yeah, that's the bottom line here. That's exactly right. And of course, all this other stuff on the side is just window dressing for the most important point. All right? And the most important point always is enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. I hit the ending before you told me to. Ha ha. I win.
Bravo. Mr. Bastardi doing it like the pro that he is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we have him on every Monday in our final segment. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Folks, you can stay tuned to the radio. Yes, all day long, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Sports Radio 98.7, the Fox Sports.